Welcome to Facilitating the Mission, the Shepherd Staff Mission Facilitators Podcast. Today we have a special interview with one of our own here at Shepherd Staff. It's Tim Dabney. And Tim, I'll let you introduce yourself.
Well, thanks, Ed. As Ed said, my name is Tim Dabney, and I come from a background of law enforcement. I've been 30 years in municipal law enforcement. And before that, I was a Nazarene preacher's kid and went to Point Loma Nazarene University. And God had a funny sense of humor, and when I graduated from college, he stuck me into law enforcement. And then when I retired from law enforcement, most of you know Jeff Jackson. He approached me and he said that that God loves me and that Jeff Jackson had a wonderful plan for my life. And so
you too.
Yeah, that's the way that works around here. And so Jeff asked me if I would come on board and shed some perspective in terms of biblical application of security and stewardship over our ministries, both in the mission field and for people who are sending people to the mission field. And so for the past 3 years, I've been coordinating and learning from security personnel from other organizations like Samaritan's Purse, IMB, New Tribes, Pioneers, Frontiers, the whole Wycliffe, the whole alphabet soup of missions, so to speak. So that's what brings me here to talk to you today about some stewardship issues with regard to security in our ministries.
Yeah, and this will begin a series, a multi-part series, dealing specifically with ministry security as it relates to missions, both from the sending church point of view and the missionary on the field. And really, a third point of view could be for the pre-field missionary as well.
Yeah, exactly. And it's really good to bounce these ideas off of you, Ed, because having been in the field and having a front row seat to some of these issues yourself and seeing other cohorts of yours in country, you can either confirm or deny or validate some of these concepts that I think are very biblical concepts.
Well, I hope to mostly let you speak, Tim, but I hope I can also give any feedback as possible. So how would you launch out on this?
Well, I mean, some of the diving in points is like some would say in the Christian movement, particularly the Western Christian movement, that's like, if God's in control of everything, why do we got to worry about our own personal safety and the security when it comes to the ministry in the field? And, you know, not to be trite, but Proverbs 14:16 tells us that the wise are cautious and avoid danger, and fools plunge ahead with reckless confidence. And I think sometimes as Christians, we do that, where we think that we have a clear vision as to what our ministry is, and we forget the fact that we have an adversary who is looking for any way to trip us up, whether it be getting carjacked, whether it be getting robbed at an ATM, or contracting an illness that we didn't take precautions for by universal precautions of washing or using masks. Any of those things can derail an otherwise vibrant ministry, and in some cases actually bring disrepute to the gospel that we're trying to take to people. And in some cases that we're going to touch on, it actually brings harm to the people we're trying to help. So that's kind of a jumping off spot, that there are several examples in scripture where we have seen that people have used good planning, good contingency planning and preparation for the delivery of the gospel. And if you're ready to jump right in on a few of those.
I like that. I like your point that it'd be a shame to be taken off the field for something that's so easily avoidable, that could have been a simple avoidance and not giving the leverage to the enemy of our souls. So I like that. So please continue, Tim.
Well, you know, in the Old Testament, we'll start with the Old Testament. There are many, many biblical examples of where contingency planning and ministry security took place. Some of the most notable ones is, if anybody does a study in Genesis, they know that a major part, starting with Genesis chapter 38, when Joseph comes onto the scene, and when we look at his life that looks like a train wreck from the get-go, but yet he has this vision and this ministry, and God had a plan all along to put him in a position to save the nation of Israel, through which the Messiah would come.
Amen.
And had Joseph focused on not focus on his servanthood to Christ or servanthood to God, then Christ would not have been of the line of Jacob. The people of would have perished. And so the whole story of Joseph is about contingency planning for the 7-year famine that would save the nation of Israel. And if God cared enough to put a man in the right place and to prepare him in such a way as far as humility, servanthood, language skills, and political connections, there's no other way a Jewish refugee would have made it into the Pharaoh's household other than the track that Joseph, I mean, if he'd have showed up and knocked off on the front door, they'd have like thrown him out.
Yeah.
But yet, because he had an introduction by somebody who was side by side with in the prison, he had that audience with the Pharaoh that made all the difference in the world. So God cares about contingency planning. He cares about looking, because he knows the end game. He knows our future. And so he's preparing us and for those events that are coming down the pike. The second most notable is Nehemiah, when he was going to rebuild the city walls. And remember, the first thing he did was he made sure through prayer that this is what God wanted him to do. Yeah. And once he knew he was sure of his calling, then he reconnoitered the wall. He went and saw how big the project was. He went at night under the cover of darkness and basically gathered intelligence. And no less should we, if we're going to the field, that we should gather intelligence about where we're going, what the political climate is like, what the government is like, what the culture is like. And so that's an Old Testament example of intelligence gathering. But also, as they set about to the task, you know, each person was given a section of wall, or each family was given a section of the wall. And there's kind of a little side point to that. It's like God only gives us that piece. We're only responsible for that piece that God gives us. So if God has called you to Kenya, you're not responsible for the missionaries in Thailand.
Yeah.
Now, you may sympathize with them, you may pray for them, and you may be joined with them in spirit, but you have a work that God's given you. So focus on the work that God's given you. But when threats came, they armed themselves. They were prepared to repel that threat. Now, I'm not saying we should give our missionaries M16s, which would be I don't think. Would Jeff would approve of that? I don't think so.
I think that'd be go against the official shepherd
yeah,
stuff policy.
I think that might. Yeah, there might be a biblical problem with that, but there's this responsibleness for them to protect the work that God had set them about to.
The biblical principle still stands.
Exactly, the biblical principle stands that God has given each of us a work to do. And we need to be good stewards of that and protect that work through our stewardship and through taking precautionary steps. David, you know, he just didn't wait until he got down into the valley to meet Goliath. He went and selected his 5 smooth stones. He had practiced with the slingshot. He just didn't have some divine ability with the sling like the day of. This is something that he had honed and developed through his adolescence and had done so many times as a shepherd. And so, you know, here again, we see preparation using the tools that we have in front of us. If you're, if God has given you the tools to of medicine and you ignore those tools and you contract an illness because you didn't protect yourself, now you've sidelined your efforts to help the people that you came to help because of your lack of stewardship.
I like those examples so much because it takes the emotion out of it. In the time of crisis, the time of an emergency, it's easy to make some poor decisions because you're overwhelmed. But when David, so to speak, had that preparation already, and in a sense he had kind of muscle memory on how to use his weapon, it was, in a sense, there was no thinking. It's just falling in line with the Lord already had for him, and he could just continue. I like that example a lot.
So as we look at the New Testament, you know, we look at several times where Jesus himself makes reference to stewardship and contingency planning. The entire chapter of Matthew chapter 10, if you remember, this is when Jesus is preparing his disciples to go out for the first time.
Yeah.
And he's giving them instruction about there are going to be men that are going to try to drag you into the courts. And there are going to be people in communities that are going to reject you and reject your message. And he had counsel for these people. And in those counsel, he said he challenged them to be as wise as serpent, yet innocent or gentle as doves. And in that, he's challenging them to be cunning and to know the ways of the world and know the tactics that the enemy would use, and that people who would want to defeat the message, the gospel of Christ, be aware of their tactics and don't be ignorant to the fact that they're going to try to disrupt and discredit the gospel that you're trying to bring. So Jesus challenges them, but even more so, Jesus himself, several times throughout his ministry, when you read in the Gospel of John in particular, when the crowds or the Pharisees have set about to capture Jesus and to stone him or put him to death or do harm to him, he himself avoids capture. And with the caveat that he says every time, because my hour is not yet come. Now, Ed, the thing is we all have an hour.
That's right.
And I want to spend that hour in a way that brings the most glory to God.
Amen.
So we are all appointed a time to go. But Jesus had a very special appointment. And he didn't want to tarnish his ministry. He did not want to squander his ministry by improper decisions and putting himself in a situation where his life and his ministry could be compromised before that hour. Because you remember the night of that he was arrested, he sat down with his disciples and he told them, my hour is now come. And the arrest came, and it was his voluntary compliance with the people who would do him harm.
Yeah, it says, for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross, the shame of the cross. And so it was planned. I like what you're saying, because I think anybody that's willing to go overseas and serve full time, they've thought that through, that they could potentially be harmed or die on the field through any number of ways. I don't think they're for that, so to speak. They're willing for that to happen, though, I strongly agree. But what you don't want to do is have that come for a silly reason, because you weren't prepared.
Yeah, and actually what you're talking about, it brings up probably the last thing we should talk about today is a thing that we call a theology of risk.
Yeah.
Because you're right. Most people who have made a decision to go abroad, and especially those people who are going to difficult countries, we'll use that word, difficult countries, they've made that decision. It's like, I'm willing to lay it down.
Yeah.
But what they haven't thought about is that their lack of preparation, if they're not prepared, the consequences of their lack of preparation could affect their witness.
Yeah, that's right.
So when the locals they're trying to reach see them doing things that they would deem foolish, then it doesn't bring glory to the gospel and doesn't validate their witness. Secondly, sometimes their very actions of trying to reach people would bring danger to the people they're trying to reach. If they're in a difficult country, and now they're known by either people that would want to thwart the gospel through physical violence or governmental agencies that are opposed to the gospel, and now they are reaching out to indigenous people, they're like painting a laser target on these people for these elements that would want to thwart the gospel. So they're actually bringing harm by their lack of preparation.
And they're actually going against the very purpose they say they're going.
Correct.
Yeah, they're taking the work backwards, so to speak.
And And then principally, the main reason why we think preparation, stewardship of security, and good stewardship of the ministry and the gifts that God has given you, and one of those gifts is your physical life.
Yeah.
The main reason is to bring glory to God.
Amen.
And so when our actions bring disrepute to the gospel, when we are unprepared, there's several different angles that you can look at this from. For instance, if you insert yourself into a crisis situation like a natural disaster, you go to a tsunami or an earthquake, but you're unprepared to serve, then the people you're there to serve, they're like, well, why are you here? Now we got to rescue you. And so being unprepared actually brings disrepute to the gospel, and God's not glorified by that. But when you are prepared and you have the resources and you've laid aside those resources and you can now glorify God by ministering to others and showing his heart for the redemption of others, then you bring glory to the ministry and you bring glory to him. And that's our primary goal. Nobody questions that most missionaries have already made the decision about themselves. But the challenge is that the theology of risk is much more at stake than just the person's life.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, anything else you would add to this, Tim, as we begin to wrap up? Any other final thoughts, so to speak?
Well, I guess the only final thought is it would be to look back at our Savior himself.
Amen.
You know, when he was tempted in the wilderness, there were three temptations that he endured. and the second of which is recorded that Satan tempted him to throw himself off of the pinnacle of the temple. Now, if you stop and think about that, what an odd temptation.
Yeah.
Really, I mean, as Christians, there are a lot of things in the Bible we just kind of gloss over and we think, oh yeah, he was tempted to throw himself down. Well, what's the big deal? Well, the temptation is that there was a promise that the Father had made in Chronicles that Jesus or the Messiah would be protected by the angels. And not until his appointed hour would any harm come to him. But Jesus didn't just take that for granted. He respected the life that God had given him, God the Father. He respected the ministry that he had been given. And his response to Satan was, "Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God." So each of us have been given a life, which is our resource. We each have been given a ministry, whether we're serving here at home, whether we're supporting missionaries abroad. I always like to say, as a side note, you're either in the mission field supporting a missionary or you're disobedient.
Amen.
But we're all involved in the ministry in some way. And so we don't want to squander that and be careless and reckless and succumb to the same temptation that Jesus rebuffed when he said, "Thou shalt not tempt or test." The Greek word is ekpyrazo, which is to put to the test and to prove that God's promise is true by challenging him. And that's just irresponsible and reckless. So we're not called to do that. We're called to be faithful and good stewards of what we've been given as far as our life and our ministry. And we should respect it just as Jesus did in that temptation. So I think as people get ready to go to the field, if they go with that attitude, then when they have to do their little contingency exercises, they'll see it through a wholly different light.
Amen. Amen. Well, Tim, as we begin to wrap up here, as we can continue wrapping up, I should say, what's the next step in this series?
Well, I think what we need to look at is now that we've established that there is a biblical reason for preparation and security stewardship, we need to look at the different types of risks or hierarchy of types of risks that people would encounter either going abroad, and it applies to short-term and long-term efforts that people may take overseas. And so, you know, look at the most frequent, the most probable, and then take it all the way up to the most improbable, but yet you need to have some concept of what you need to do in those situations.
Well, I'm looking forward to that next podcast. And for our listeners, we hope that you will tune in for that next podcast. Should be our very next episode. We sure appreciate when we get feedback, so we encourage you to contact us either via Facebook or our website, ssmfi.org, ssmfi.org. That's us on the web. You can search us out on Facebook. We enjoy the feedback, so we encourage you to do that. Until next time, we say God bless you.